Awakening with Brahma Kumaris. Namaskar. Welcome to Awakening with Brahma Kumaris. You're watching Healer Within. Sister Shivani is with us. Welcome, Sister.
Om Shanti.
Sister, we were speaking about Birbal and Akbar and how people write stories or hear stories and they add a character to any good story they find, and Akbar did this, Birbal said this, Shri Krishna was going like this, he saw this, Lord Shiva saw something and cursed him, that deity, a devi crossed some place and she cursed somebody, made him into a stone. All these stories from childhood, and people go on adding characters, like, you know, somebody adds stories to Gandhiji did this.
Like we saw last time, that our scriptures were written with the purest intention to help us to learn values. And even today, moral science stories are to help children to learn values. And like you said, Akbar and Birbal, Mahatma Gandhiji, Gautam Buddha, people who've lived values and whose name, as soon as I hear the name, I can see that personification of those values, and so it becomes easy to understand the story. So similarly, from Copper Age, when we started disintegrating, the scriptures were written to help us to maintain our divinity, which we had till the end of Silver Age. The unity, the harmony, the sanctity of relationships, which was there. The ideal husband, the ideal wife, the ideal brother. So these scriptures were written. And now what was happening is, if we do not understand the scriptures in their right perspective, instead of seeing that it's a deity, the character of the devil is a fiction. It's a fictitious character. It's a character which has been created, and the entire incident has been written for us to pick the message. We're supposed to pick the message from it and implement the message in our life. Now, what happens over a period of these 1,000, 2,000 years is, when we took that whole thing to be true and we started believing that every time there was a deity, there was also a devil, and then we also saw deities to be at war with the devil, we also saw the deities cursing somebody in the stories, we also saw them using sometimes unethical means to win a war. So when we see all this happening, the image that we create about the deities, whom we say is, you know, something similar to God, when we look at them in that image, our present is getting affected, because the whole concept of fear the deity, fear the God, is coming from all these what we read, where we heard and read that they were cursing or they were getting angry, and when they get angry, they can do anything. They probably, the stories that are written, even we don't seem to have that kind of anger today, what the deities are shown to have. Now we need to understand the deities in their true form. That deity means a pure, perfect, divine soul. Copper Age, a message to be written. For the message, had to show an evil character. Took the deity, created an evil character, and gave the message for us in the Copper Age and in the Iron Age to take the message and to implement the message in our life. Today, we're only listening to the story and then keeping it there. Okay, yes. Sri Ramji did this, Sri Krishnaji did this, Sri Lakshmi Narayan did this, and that's where it ends. We're supposed to take that message and live that scripture, live our religion, and understand that the deities, this is not the truth about them. The truth was that when they were there on this earth, when they were there, there was no evil character. Deities never got angry. Deities never curse. They never go to war. This is not something that they've ever done. And so we have to love them, not fear them. See, otherwise we say we love them, but we also fear them. And love and fear cannot go together. So only love them. love them because they were such pure souls, and get inspired by them, that this is who they were, and they are our ancestors. They are our ancestors. We are generations to generations to generations following. They were here in our world. We are continuing. That dynasty is continuing today. So they are our forefathers. So we take that as an inspiration that we can become like them because they were also human souls. So that we don't keep that gap. You know, we've kept that big gap between God and us, the deities and us, and we count ourselves to be very, very, very low, very impure compared to them. And then when we started worshipping the deities, we wanted to worship the values in them, the powers in the soul, the qualities in the soul. And so we started making sculptures, monuments, paintings. And every time we created those, we wanted to show the value, the power. Like we take Devi, you know, we say Nau Durga, Nau Devya. So we want to show the powers of the soul. Each soul has 8 powers. Power to tolerate, power to cooperate, power to discern, power to adjust, power to decide. All these powers. Now how do we show a soul with all these powers? So we couldn't show spiritual power here. So the best form to show power is here.
Yeah, for muscles, they'll show Hanumanji.
Power, yes.
And, you know, and
to show spiritual power, but in a physical form, we gave them 8 arms.
For art and music and sitar, they'll just an instrument with Saraswati.
Absolutely.
So all those
powers. Saraswati. Now, like you said, Saraswati, goddess of wisdom. Now, that doesn't mean Saraswati was playing a physical sitar. But Saraswati, whatever knowledge, the divine souls, the pure souls, when they spoke, that speaking itself was as if it was a
music.
Music. It was music to the ears, the sweetness and the beauty of every word. But now if I want to show, here's this soul, and when this soul speaks, the knowledge, the beauty, the divinity, it's music to the ear. And if I just tell an artist this, draw this. So how would the artist draw it? Then artist draws this beautiful figure.
And a musical instrument.
And a musical instrument. Now see, some of the Devi Devtas are shown with weapons in their hands. You know, either a sword or a trishul. Now, they were never using physical weapons. The deity is not going to use a trishul or a sword to kill anybody or to hurt anybody. But they have used the swords of knowledge to kill the devil inside. Now, tell an artist, draw a soul who has used knowledge to kill the devil inside. So how will they draw it? It's been drawn in the most beautiful way. And now we are supposed to look at it, look at the picture and take inspiration. Here, these are the weapons of knowledge to be used to kill the devil inside. But we don't do that. We just take it as a picture and say, this is how they were, this is who they were, and we start worshipping them. We're supposed to worship what they did, the act. In Hindi, there are two beautiful words, chitra and charitra. Charitra is the character and chitra is the picture. So we actually have to worship the character. Worship in the sense, get inspired by the character and imbibe that character. But today we are not looking at the charitra, the character. We are only looking at the chitra,
the picture.
Most of the deities are shown sitting or standing on a lotus flower. Now let's think of it. No human being can stand on a lotus flower. But again, symbolic. That when our life is so divine, is so pure, then our life becomes like a lotus flower, which will be there in the dirt. Will
be of the dirt.
Yes, and yet above. Living in the world.
But using the water.
Using the water, very true. Using the water, living there. Not running away from the world. Once you start working on yourself, don't need to run away from the world. Living in the world, being there with everybody and yet being untouched by the dirt around us, life will become like a lotus flower. Now, the life of these divine souls became like a lotus flower. So they are shown standing or sitting on the lotus flower. Now when I look at the picture, I'm supposed to take that message, that I can live in this world and yet make my life like this flower, which is a symbol of purity. We only worship it. We are not taking that message back for
it
ourselves.
It uses the water but does not absorb the water.
The dirt. And doesn't absorb the dirt
around.
Doesn't
get wet.
Yes.
It's still...
Absolutely. Untouched. Just even, floats
even
just
leaves.
Above. Yes, even the
leaves of the flower.
Just floats above. There and yet not there. In Hindi it said, Nyara and Pyara. Pyare bhi hai, living in the world, not disconnected from the world. And Nyare bhi hai. Nyare means detached. Not running away from the world, being in the world and detached from the world. These were the messages to be taken from every temple we go to, every sculpture we see, every painting we see. We had to take the message back.
These were the things we, as you said, message. And those days there were not too many books to be written, and how many pages they can, you know. They didn't have printing machines, you know, those days. So they must have had these kind of painting.
Symbolic representations.
Yeah. And when I was in school, I wanted to do two things. It's later in school, while after Cambridge, almost in college. One was film acting and one was bodybuilding. And there was a Mr. Universe in the Hanuman Vyayam Shala, his photograph. I used to look at him, admire him, and, you know, do the muscles. And I used to say, okay, this one he has this one, this tricep, this bicep, this small, small muscles. Excellent body he had. And the other thing was, I always wanted to be an actor, like Devanand. Dev Sahab, who's no more, I was his fan. I used to watch his films, every film, old film, morning shows, all shows. And go on watching this photograph of this guy and buy magazines wherever this Mr. Universe was there on the cover sometimes. Those books on health. But I never ever, you know, told them, Mr. Universe, please make my body. I'll pray for you. I'll just do some prayers and burn some incense sticks and say, please, please. Or Mr. Devanand, please make me an actor. I worked very hard with dumbbells. I went to the Vyayam Shala, took care of my proper diet of protein, whatever it was. And then for acting, I went to the radio station, I took photographs, I did stage plays. I asked everybody after, I invited more than 200 people for my play, asked them what was my position. I compared my photographs with the other photographs of the actors. I went to the Film Institute in Pune. I thought, you know, actors would be like some gods, deities, or some angels. So I wanted to see, and they were just, when I went there, I had more confidence in myself. I said, I look better, no problem. My voice is better. Then I counted, I wrote down, and I worked on myself. I did not do just praying them. I was inspired.
Absolutely.
And also I came to know, I used to read how this man worked hard, what did he do, what did he sacrifice, and this Mr. Universe never used to take alcohol for this, never used to smoke. All these things I learned from them as inspiration, but did not pray. It didn't come easily.
Right. And if you would have just prayed or just worshipped, it would have never come for a lifetime.
And if not, then I would have gone to some other Mr. Universe's photograph, some other Mr. Devanand doesn't work.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll go to Raj Kapoor Sahab.
Right.
Okay, then I'll go to Shami Ji.
Absolutely.
Some other actor.
Right.
Okay, I'll pray to you because he's not listening to me.
True. So it's not going to work like that.
It's not work.
Absolutely. Like you said, see the photo, right? Like you saw the photo of the person who had a very nice body, the way you wanted it to be. Or you saw the photo of the person who was a fantastic actor. You want to become like that. So, see the photo. That's your aim and objective. You know, this is called aim and objective of my life. I want to become like this. So, see the photo. Read about them. Read about them. Get to know everything. What did they do to become like this? And then it doesn't end there. After you see the photo, read everything about them, hear everything about them. Now you take all that and start doing it for yourself if you want to become like that. When we look at them and when we read about them, we learn from it.
Yeah.
We're learning. Now we take the learning. Had we just restricted ourselves to looking at them, praising them,
or even imitating them.
Probably even meeting them for a minute. You know, today we say, I want to have a vision of 1 minute of my deity. I want to have a vision of God, which means just meeting them for a few seconds, for a minute. So if I just look at their picture, read about them, have a vision of them, just ends there. I still remain where I am. Aim objective is, if I like them, if they inspire me, if I feel they have that, what I don't have, and I like what they have, then I need to work towards becoming like that. Now the same thing, if we could do it with our deities, angels, and now here look at all the symbols also which are there in the photograph. We read about them, we get complete knowledge about how they became like this and how they had these divine qualities. Look at their smile, look at the purity on the face. And now take all that and start inculcating that in our own lives. Then we will be working towards reaching our own divinity. So now let's go back and revise everything that we've heard and read in our religion. And go back and see it all with a different perspective. Like you said about Hanumanji, and like you said, the photograph inspires us that the strength, the physical power because of which he could lift a mountain. Now, even now in this, if we look at it, we're looking at him lifting a physical mountain and we're thinking it's the strength of the body. But actually the message that it was going to give us was the soul has so much power that it can lift any situation which is as big as a mountain. No deity was flying in the air. They were all human beings. Like you said, when I went to the Film Institute, I thought actors would be some different breed altogether.
Some angels,
yeah,
some
deities. Because we always look at them very different from us, very superior. And we feel we are nowhere, we'll never be able to reach till there. But God gives us this knowledge that deities are also human beings. Two arms, two legs, one head. Not doing supernatural things in terms of physical, that somebody is flying in the air, somebody is lifting mountains, somebody has four arms, two legs, one face. Normal human body. Supernatural powers of the soul. They could lift a mountain-like situation very, very lightly and fly with that mountain, which means if the soul is powerful, even if there's a huge situation that comes in the soul's life, the soul will be able to lift the situation and fly as if it's a game for the soul. This is what we need to learn from what we are reading. And so let's go back, see all of them. Like Hanumanji, we worship Sri Ganeshji. Right? A beautiful, beautiful message. The entire symbolic representation gives us such a beautiful message. Now, I remember as a child, we used to be told the story that Shankarji came after 10 years of tapasya and suddenly had this 10-year-old boy standing outside his house, not recognizing him and not allowing him to enter the house. So Shankarji got so angry that he cut the head of that child. We heard it and we didn't question it. We didn't even say a deity who's just come after 10 years of meditation. Even if we do 10 minutes of meditation, we cannot get angry after that at that time. After 10 years of meditation and the Lord himself comes down and then gets angry just because he's not allowed to enter the house and he cuts the head of a 10-year-old boy. And we believed all this. We never ever thought that this was giving us a message. We thought it's the true story. And once he beheads the boy, now he understands that, oh, this is my own son. So he says, okay, now the next one who goes from here, I will cut his head and put it on. So first killed one person, now is going to kill another creature. If he had the power to take another head and put it back on that body, he could have put the same head which was fallen down. We never questioned, we never asked what this meant. And then there was an elephant passing, cut the head of the elephant, put it on the body, and we had this wonderful symbol that God created. We now understand the message of it, that what does God come and cut the head? God comes and cuts our ego. We are not able to recognize God, we are not able to recognize ourselves. God comes and cuts the ego. Now if I want to show, how do you cut ego? So what will I have to cut? Cut the head. And once ego is cut, the head that you will get will be a wise head. Because once your ego is cut, you become a wise soul. So then you put the head of an elephant, eyes which are very small, which shows a soul which is able to be far-sighted. Small eyes means I can see with something which is very far. Ears which are very big, which means take the good things, filter out everything that is unnecessary. Then the trunk, which is so powerful, can lift a little child, can also uproot a tree, which means very strong and yet very soft.
I read somewhere it is also a symbol of perfection because it can lift a
needle.
Small needle.
Absolutely.
And also a log.
Right.
And take even the breathe through it.
Absolutely.
Drink water through it.
Right.
And pick up the heaviest and the smallest.
Precision.
Precision.
Absolutely.
So there are scientists say that there's no such machine in the world
right.
which can pick up a needle and take a log also.
And a log of
so
wood.
So for whenever they make a house or do something new, so they pray for perfection in it.
Perfection.
I was reading this somewhere.
Perfection, wisdom. That's what we are praying for. And then Ganeshji is shown to have a huge stomach, which means the power to accommodate. If you know something about somebody, keep it to yourself. Don't open it up everywhere in front of everybody. Keep it to yourself. This is the power to accommodate things. And then the statues of Sri Ganeshji are shown with one leg folded up and one leg slightly down like this, which means live in the world and yet slightly above.
And like the lotus example.
Like the lotus flower, absolutely. And then this whole huge character sitting on a little mouse. Why is the vehicle of such a divine soul a mouse? Because when a soul will acquire all these powers, farsightedness, this kind of precision and accuracy, the ears to be wise enough to filter out all that is unnecessary, power to accommodate, this soul will overcome all its vices, the ugly things which are symbolized by the mouse. And when you become like this, whatever obstacles will come in your life, you will be able to overcome the obstacle.
The mouse is representing our sanskars.
The vices.
The
know why? Why mouse represents vices?
Because it goes and eats everything and
Absolutely.
Bites everything.
Bites everything. And
destruction.
Yeah, and it creeps in from the smallest gap. You will not even see from where a little mouse can creep in. Which means a little lack of attention on ourselves and the vices will creep in.
Go to the most useless places
yes.
which are not even needed.
Absolutely.
Because a mouse, a rat, it goes and bites things which even it doesn't want to eat.
Right. And do you know how a mouse bites? It first gives an anesthetic effect. Yeah. It will first just make that area of the skin numb. Very, just like an anesthesia. And then it will bite. You will not come to know. Same with our vices. When they come in and they begin, they seem to be very attractive. It seems like something very nice is happening. And then it will bite and we come to know much later. So when a soul cuts their ego and has this wise head, they will be able to overcome their vices. So the Lord of Wisdom. And when you're able to do this, you would overcome your obstacles. And that's why, like you said, every time you build a new house, start a new business, buy a new car, you will have the picture of Sri Ganeshji, which is destroyer of obstacles, Vighan Vinashak, destroyer of all obstacles. Now, I need to ask myself, will just putting the picture of Sri Ganeshji destroy all obstacles?
No.
No. Putting the picture there means taking the picture, like you said, taking the picture of Mr. Universe or Devananji, taking the picture, getting inspired, and then using those qualities
and working hard.
Then when we do it, then we will become the destroyer of obstacles. We thought we will put the picture of Sri Ganeshji and that picture will destroy all our obstacles. Or that deity will destroy all our obstacles. No. It's a picture which I need to use to become like that, to become a destroyer of my obstacles. Then I will be taking the message and implementing the message. So let's go back today. And everything that we see, whether it's in the temple, whether it's in our scriptures, whether it's in the books that we read, take it and just sit back with it silently and look for the meaning. Look for the meaning. When we are body conscious, we take it as it is. Whether it's a picture, whether it's a story, we'll take it as it is. Now sit back, look for the meaning in it, take the meaning and start practicing the meaning so that we can make that as our aim objective. And work towards becoming like that.
Wonderful, sister. Can we have a short meditation on?
Sure. Let's sit back and look at ourselves. I, the soul, have always looked up to the deities, divine souls. Everything I read in the scriptures, learned from prophets, and saints. Today, I look at it from a different perspective. They all came to give a message, teaching me skills, powers, which I, the soul, need to inculcate in myself. They are my aim and objective, my inspiration to become like them. Let me look at them, their purity, their power, their love, their qualities, and take one quality today. And not just worship and praise that quality, but I worship it because I love that quality. So today, I take that quality and start implementing it in my life. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
Thank you so much.
Om Shanti.
Deities were pure, perfect and divine souls. The messages in the scriptures showed deities getting angry and even cursing. And we took that to be the truth about deities. This is the reason why we fear God and deities. When the deities lived in this world, the complete society was pure. There was no evil. And deities never got angry, cursed, or killed. Devils are the fictitious characters created only to inspire us to emerge our divinity and kill the evil inside us. The symbols and the pictures of deities tell us about the values and the powers of the soul, not strength of the body. We only worship the form. Let us learn from them and work to inculcate those values to become like them.
If you wish to discuss your problem or have a question to ask or want to know your nearest Raj Yoga Meditation Center, write to us at awakening@pkmail.org or call us on UK 440 75304 26770, USA 1-347-448-2359, India 91999-744-555.